She's a nationally and internationally acclaimed writer, speaker, and facilitator, a business founder and owner, a very proud Spartan alumna, and most recently the author of a compelling new book, Food Bullying: How to Avoid Buying BS. She is Michelle Payne, and she joins us on MSU Today to tell us more about food bullying. Michelle, always great to catch up to you, and congratulations on your latest accomplishment.
Thanks, Kirk. It's always great to be back at Michigan State, and a delight to be in studio with you today.
Let's get right to the new book, Michelle. The dedication to the book reads, "To every person who has been shamed about your food or farming choices, may this book give you the courage to stand up to the bullies." Very compelling. How did this book come about?
Food bullying came about as a result, really, of the first two books that I wrote and the work that I've done for the last 18 years with my business in trying to connect farm and food. And for the last few years, I've seen the increase in what I consider to be psychological manipulation around food, which, of course, affects farming choices, which is a huge proportion of the Michigan economy. And so the more I thought about it, the more I decided, or rather was called, that I really needed to be able to help people understanding that food bullying has become a phenomenon. It is affecting us every time we make an eating choice, whether it's in the grocery store or whether it is in a restaurant. So really, that's how the book came about. And then when I found some neuroscience research and psychological research that really backed up some of my casual observations were, it became reality.
Yeah, having read the book, there's a lot of research, obviously, that went into the book, and we're not going to give all that away because we want people to buy the book, of course. But we hear a lot about bullying these days in schools and other places, but really not so much specifically about food bullying. How pervasive is this food bullying, and why does it happen in the first place?
I would ask, have you been made to feel guilty about the food that you've chosen for your family? And if you can say yes, or if you've been shamed about bringing the wrong brand to school, or if your child, unfortunately, has been shamed about eating the wrong food, then you've been bullied. Likewise, if you're a farmer and you've been bullied about how you choose to farm, whether you use GMOs or not, whether you have animals or crops, then you too have been bullied. Unfortunately, in today's society, it's pretty clear that people are removing choice on the farm and around food. And that's ultimately how I define food bullying, is that choice is being taken away from people, whether it's on the grocery shelf by a person who can no longer afford eggs as a basic protein building block. That is the most egregious bullying, in my opinion. To the mom who is no longer allowed to bring homemade snacks to the playgroup because she won't use organic flour, as an example, to the farmer who can no longer make a choice to use a particular kind of seed to plant in the ground because of choices that have been taken away from them.
One thing your book does, you provide numerous examples of food bullying, both at the consumer level and at the agricultural producer level. You had one person in particular who shared a lot of stories about food bullying and her experiences. And I mean, these are typically moms, and you mentioned earlier, who get shamed by virtue of what their kids might bring to school.
It's really unfortunate. As a mom, I can certainly relate to the interest in healthy food and maintaining your child's health and nutrition. However, I would never judge another mother on the choices she makes, nor should I think any mother would do that. And when we have reached that point in society and we lose sight of the fact that food is a basic necessity, food is nourishment. When you look at the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which I cover in the book from a food standpoint, nourishment is at the very bottom. We need food to survive. Why do we have to make it a political statement? And then safety comes second. And if we always go back to, is this food safe and nutritious, rather than, is it the right brand? Does it look good? How does it make me feel when I buy this type of food, or buying all the adjectives on the label? We would be much further down the road and avoiding food bullying and shaming other parents around our choices.
You do a real neat comparison, I think, with clothing choices.
Yes.
If the clothes are comfortable and they keep the child or person warm at the very basic level, then why shame people about what the label says.
Exactly. And the way that I approached food bullying fairly early in the book, if it's not okay to shame someone on their sexual preference choices, on their religious choices, on their racial choices, if it's not okay to shame people around their choices, then why are we shaming people around food? It should be socially unacceptable. And unfortunately, it's become a social movement quite the opposite way, that it's cool to do this around food. It's cool to make a social statement. And I'm here with food bullying to say, no, it's not okay. Let's stand up to this and let's know our own standards so that we can help others overcome the bullying.
I'm talking with Michelle Payne. She's a proud Spartan alum, and she's just out with her third book, Food Bullying, How to Avoid Buying a BS. And we might just add that the BS in the title is bull speak, which is a nice way of saying what we commonly refer to as BS, right?
It sure is. There's a lot of bull speak in the grocery store. By my estimation, there's about 200,000 label claims in a grocery store, believe it or not, that we have to sort through. This is just a rough guesstimate, but I'd say about 90% of them are probably bull speak.
Examples of some of these label claims that are bull speak.
Ethically raised, all natural, clean, farm raised. Some people are questioning why these would be bull speak, and the reality is if they're not measurable and meaningful, which by my standards means that they have to be evaluated at a federal level by FDA, USDA, or EPA in some cases, if they're not measurable and meaningful, they're marketing. They're bull speak. And when somebody says that their food is more ethically raised than my food, I always want to say why. And as a person who has her hands on cows about every single day, I can assure you that you're not handling your cattle any more ethically than I'm handling my cattle.
You earlier referred to the shaming that goes on maybe with one producer raising crops or livestock one way and another producer. Give us a little bit more of that, examples of that type of thing that happened for folks who may not be as familiar with agriculture as you are.
Sure. So I have a friend out in Cornhusker country. I always tell him that's unfortunate that he needs to be in Spartan country, but he farms several thousand acres. He's transitioned over half of his farm to organic acreage. And he's done so because he wants to meet market niche needs. And as a result of that, he has neighboring farmers that perhaps are being a bit negative is the most positive thing that I could say. They're bullying him about his farming choices. And I might add that that works the other way as well. There's a number of organic folks that will bully people who choose to raise their food conventionally. So my question to agriculture is, can't we do better? There is no singular right way to raise food. There is no singular right way to buy food. We need to have choices in this country, and let's not condemn those who make choices differently than us.
One prevailing theme in food bullying and in all three of your books, frankly, is when you're asking questions about food and nutrition, what have you, go to the science, don't go to the marketing.
Yes, and I know that science is not as sexy as what many people would like. So what I suggest is know the science, know the system, so the food safety system that's in place that is quite remarkable, or know the source, know where your food is raised. If you know one of those three, you can make food choices based on your own standards.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. And that comes to the way your book is organized, I think, a structure that is very cogent, very logical about ultimately what folks can do to avoid being bullies themselves, because some people don't even know they're being bullies, right? And number two, to protect themselves from bullying down the trail.
Yeah, absolutely. The book is organized into five different sections, and it goes from understanding the playground of food bullying, because it is a big, ugly playground with bullies at every corner, including in the mirror, and then building your own story to understand food bullying. And then it turns to being able to think through the BS, the bull speak, to overcome the bullying, and then finding your own solutions. So the book is organized to try to set up the logical flow of identifying the problem, dealing with the problem, and then solving the problem. And one of the things that I really tried to take a look at is the fact that we're all bullies. Mm-hmm. And I shared the story in there that I have a girlfriend. She and I both find that corned beef hash is disgusting. And we bully our husbands because we don't allow it to be cooked in our kitchen because it smells horrible. You know, and that's a funny example. And another a hog farmer in Ohio shared an example of how his mother would bully him because she tried to make him eat his Brussels sprouts. And he literally sat there for 3 hours and refused to eat them. And I think any parent can identify with the fact that we perhaps have bullied our children intentionally or unintentionally. And I do want to note that food bullying does happen unintentionally. Many times, people will have your best interest in mind, but they will still bully you because they think that you need to make your nutritional choices the same as what they are. And clearly, in every case, that's different. So I would encourage you all to self-identify as a bully and probably just admit that you are one, because I've met very few people who can say they are not.
Kath and I certainly did our share of that kind of bullying with our two daughters. We try and avoid that with the grandkids because, you know, you get a second chance with the grandkids.
Because you spoil them, Kirk.
You'll find that out someday. Michelle, again, it's a wonderful read. It's your third book out. How can folks get it? I mean, let's get down to the specifics.
Food Bullying releases on November 5th. All ebook versions are available across the United States and Canada as of today. And you can order an author signed copy at my website, which is causematters.com. And it's at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the major booksellers, and you can certainly request it and pre-order it from any of those.
And folks who want to contact you about anything, I mean, you're all over the place on social media. You're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but your company, you mentioned it, but we'll reiterate that, is Cause Matters.
Correct. It is, and my social handle across all of the different channels is at MPayne, P-A-Y-N, Speaker, S-P-E-A-K-E-R. So I would love to connect with you on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and such.
Nationally and internationally acclaimed writer, speaker, and facilitator, she is Michelle Payne. Her new book is Food Bullying, How to Avoid Buying BS, and she is a Spartan through and through.
Go Michelle, green.
Yep, go white.